and came about from we had delegates send questions in advance. We've had it in as part of the panel questions. Quite a thorny question, actually. So I'll be interested to hear the delegates' response to this, because it's been quite varied in terms of the kind of question. So we've kind of structured it quite neutral as we possibly can. So, Anthony, how do Welsh public bodies propose to manage reserves going forward? Reserves are being maintained, or some of them have been increased year on year, but is that an effective use of reserves?
I think people, and I use that in the widest sense, need to understand the purpose of reserves. Reserves, certainly from my point of view, are built up by an organisation ostensibly as a backstop for any unforeseen circumstances in terms of general reserves. There are also earmarked reserves which will be used for specific things. And I think when we were sort of discussing before the webinar began, we were discussing the fact that actually reserves are an important part to a medium-term financial strategy. And it's not just having those reserves, it's how you think you're going to need to spend them as part of that strategy. Now, on one hand, and this gets relayed to me sometimes as an auditor, it's actually from members of the public often challenging the budget setting in organisations. They've got millions and millions of pounds in reserves. Why aren't they using that? And I think there is a communication issue for organisations to get over to the people as to why they've got reserves, why they're holding them, what the purpose is, to make it clear. Most organisations are required, or it would be prudent for them to hold some reserves. Does there come a point at which those reserves have to be dipped into? Quite possibly, but as part of the strategy. And the other thing to bear in mind is, once you've taken money out of a reserve, unless you put it back in, that money is not available for anything else. So you have to be very careful about what that money is used for. And again, authorities and organisations will have strategies about how to use reserves. Will be clear on what it's going to be used for, and that will have gone through a scrutiny and overview process that should arrive at the right answer for individual authority.
Thank you, Anthony. Can I hand over to you, Mark?
Okay, I agree that reserves are an important component for the financial planning framework, and that there's certainly no panacea for the financial problems created by austerity. What I'm certain on is those decisions around reserves have to be made at the local level. They must be left to the local professional statutory decision makers. And clearly, if risks are and uncertainty are increasing, then you may have reasons why reserves would go up. We've also got reserves used for self-insurance, for capital investments, business transformation and workforce planning. On local authorities' books, you've got school reserves and, in some cases, housing reserves. So, in some cases, the variation between reserves can just be down to major capital projects. Wales Audit Office did actually do a report in 2012 on reserves and emphasised that there could be improved reporting on the management of reserves. And I echo that and support that. And that is an area we need to work on, because what's important about reserves is not the levels of them, but the openness, transparency and accountability associated with them, and there may be benefit of more information in the statement of accounts as well. They're not a way to fix the long-term austerity pressures.
Okay, thank you for that, Mark. We've got some questions coming in responding to Anthony's initial comments, but can I hand over to Guy first to talk through his observations in relation to reserves?
Yeah, well, in terms of England, many English councils and indeed schools have increased their reserve levels since 2010, and the Secretary of State has been critical of both. And I'd agree with colleagues' comments thus far. Just understanding the level of reserves is not particularly helpful. It's understanding what those reserves are going to be used for. One of the questions that's come in says, should all organisations have some level of reserves to be used as investor safe funds? I think the answer is not for me, or perhaps anybody on the panel, to say, well, that's yes or no. It is, as the panel has already said, it is down to local decisions and local circumstances. I mean, SIPFA, they changed their policy a few years ago. They used to set, I think it was like 5% of net revenue spend, and then they changed it to, it's on the advice of the Section 151 based on local circumstances, and that's something I absolutely support. Sort of a reasonable level of reserves is a good indicator of financial resilience over the medium term, and low levels of reserve, I don't know if my slides come up yet, but it can limit It can limit an organisation's ability to invest, maintain that sort of the services through the transformation period, and generally withstand financial shocks. So having a good use of reserves and a good level of reserves is critical during austerity. One final comment from me is that one of the things that's been difficult is to benchmark reserves, and that's because there is no standard terminology. One sort of transformation earmark reserve is named completely different to another council, and they're both named completely different to another council. So we struggled to do the detailed benchmarking when you drill down a bit into the reserves, and particularly earmark reserves.
Thank you for that, Guy. Councillor Ben Curran's observations were this. As a member, he said, managing a declining offer to the public and increasing reserves is not a very palatable position to be in. So it's about having very, very strong officer discussions and understanding what was going on and continuing understanding what was going on. He said, I never really understood the amount of discussion that we actually had in relation to reserves until the transformation sort of element happened in Sheffield. We used to have regular weekly meetings understanding the implications of it, because as more and more information became aware, so the implications on reserves was becoming more and more difficult for me to get my head around. I'm not a financial specialist, I'm a member, and so having good member sort of dialogue and getting them to make me understand what's going on was absolutely key. And it is a political risk to this, he said. So he said, my key message would be, it's not about the reserves per se, it's about understanding the underlying risk that goes if you do decide to cut down services and increase your reserves. The implications of this is huge. So it's about having clear roles and understanding what the officer and member role is and having that guidance. He said he can't underestimate the importance of having that continuing dialogue with the officers.
But I think that the key point for me really is what Anthony mentioned, is there needs to be a strategy for the use of the reserves, and that strategy needs to form part of the council's medium-term financial strategy. And that's something that is developing in English local government.
Yeah, and I support that, and I think we need to develop that in Wales, but we spend too long talking about reserves, really. I mean, in Wrexham's terms, the general reserves, around 7 million, which would keep the authority going for just over a week. You know, the amounts aren't as big as they're made out.
Okay, thank you for that. We've got a couple of questions coming in about reserves. The first one is about sort of past failures in local government sector are generally related to service or corporate governance issues and not financial failure. So is there too much caution about the prudent use of resources to pump prime long-term cost-saving initiatives?
I'm not sure from Guy's experience, but certainly from my point of view, in Wales we haven't seen a local authority fail financially, although in other parts of the world there have been authorities, in America for example, where the councils have failed financially and have in effect been bankrupt as a result of that. So, you know, I think it's right to be cautious, particularly as this period of austerity, economic crisis, where we are, is likely to continue for quite some time. The pressures or the risks of financial failure will increase.
Thank you, Anthony. Mark?
I think you've got to have pump priming of initiatives, particularly on the digital side of things. They are expensive, and you've got to invest to get the regular ongoing savings afterwards. But you can't do that, and if the thing fails, just ignore that. You've got to ensure that there is adequate governance, and that is one area where, you know, I agree that the auditors do look at us closely, and they do corporate assessments on the way in which we're working. And I think you do need to ensure that although you're trying new things, you've always got an eye on governance aspects.
So in England, did that happen that way?
Well, I think certainly my view, and I think it's more generally Grant Thornton's view, is it's unlikely we feel that there will be a bankruptcy similar to Detroit and other local authorities in the US. And that's partly because the model of funding is different between the two countries. But also, if there is, I mean, there's been some high-profile cases where local authorities have got into financial distress. But there are occasions where central government, like is more common in the NHS, for example, would step in and help out financially. We see that happening. We don't see local authorities, and it would only be a minority at risk going bankrupt. In terms of pump priming, it's, you know, managed in the right way, I think it's important. And that's a couple of points.